Christmas, church family. Come on, would you stand across this room? The angel said, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you great joy to all the world." There's joy in the house of the Lord today. Let's express our joy to Him. We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. And He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We're gonna shout out.
Sing and heaven and heaven. Amen, amen. Let's give God praise this morning. Amen. How's everybody doing? Well, welcome to Prestonwood. How many have the joy of the Lord in your heart this morning? So grateful to God for this opportunity to be together. Welcome for those of you that are in the room and those that are worshiping with us online. We welcome you this Lord's Day to Prestonwood. The Lord is doing wonderful things. If you are a first-time guest here, watch this. Text the word connect to 74788. Connect to 74788. We want to know you're here. We don't want to bother you, but we do want to connect with you, see how we can pray for you, serve you and your family. Also, if this is your first time, you can go to Guest Central, which is right behind us in the atrium, to receive a pastor's book called The Cost of Christmas. It's a gift that we want to give to you from our church to you. And also, thank you for all of our members and all of those who have been faithful and generous in your giving and your tithes and offering for the work and the mission of Prestonwood, both here locally and around the globe. God has done wonderful things. How many were able to come to the gift of Christmas? Did everybody see that? That was so wonderful, wasn't it? Well, thank you so much for being faithful. And you still have opportunities this before the end of the year to give. And we thank you for being obedient to the Lord in the mission and giving. We're going to pray, we're going to continue to worship, and then Pastor has a message from John chapter 3. So prepare your hearts and your mind for the word of God to come forward. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for those who have gathered this morning. Father, those that are here, Father, and those that are worshiping online. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give us this opportunity on this, your day, to honor you, to love you, to live for you. We thank you that Jesus is the real reason for Christmas. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. And Father, we pray this morning that if there's anyone here, any man, any woman, any child that does not have a personal relationship with you, Lord, that this day, Father God, that they will come, Father God, to realization and truth that Jesus is Lord and Savior and accept you into their life. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you in advance. Thank you, God, for the worship. We give it to you. Thank you for the word that'll go forward. Anoint our pastor, Father God, that he may speak the word you put on his heart. And Lord Jesus, may our hearts be prepared to receive your word as it goes forth. We love you. We honor you in Jesus' name. And everyone say it. Amen. Amen.
What hope we hold this starlit night? A king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent day, 400 years can he be found? But broken by a baby's cry, rejoice in the hallowed manger ground.
Oh, let's lift it up.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
is probably my favorite carol of Christmas. Such powerful words. Let's all sing it together.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pined, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth.
Come on.
A thrill.
here to show us. A kingdom. That is what our rulers are worried about.
No, not that kind.
Then what?
A sort of kingdom that a person cannot see unless he is born again.
Born again?
Yes.
You mean like a new creature? A conversion from Gentile to Jewish?
No, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Then what is born again? I hope you don't mean return to the womb, because that would be a problem for me. My mother, may she rest in peace, is dead.
Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That part of you, that is what must be reborn to new life.
How can these things be?
Ah, a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things, huh?
I'm trying, Rabbi.
I know. I know. Do you hear this?
What?
Listen. What do you hear?
The wind?
How do you know it's the wind?
Because I can feel it. I hear its sound.
Do you know where it comes from?
No.
Do you know where it's going?
No.
That's what it is to be born again of the Spirit. The Spirit may work in a way that is a mystery to you. And while you cannot see the Spirit, you can recognize his effect.
Mind is consumed with thoughts of what a stir these words would cause among the teachers of the law.
Yes. And I do not expect otherwise. I speak of what I know and have seen, and it has not been received by the religious leaders.
It is hard to receive.
So if I have told you of earthly things, and you do not believe, how can I tell you heavenly things?
I believe your words. I just fear you may not have a chance to speak many more of them before you are silenced.
I have come to do more than speak words, Nicodemus.
More miracles?
Yes. But even more than that. Do you remember when the children of Israel complained against God and against Moses in the wilderness of Paran?
Yes. They wanted to return to Egypt, and they cursed the manna that God sent them.
And then?
They were bitten by serpents, and they were dying. But God made a way for them to be healed.
Moses lifted the bronze serpent in the desert, and people only needed to look at it. So will the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
Our people are not dying from snake bites. They're dying from taxation and oppression.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I did not come to deliver the people from Rome.
Then from what?
From sin. From spiritual death. God loves the world in this way. That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
So take your Bibles and turn to that passage in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, I appreciate so very much. My friend Dallas Jenkins, who is the creator and the producer of The Chosen, 3 seasons now, and that scene is one of the greatest that I've watched in television history. I truly believe it because it's the greatest subject of all. It is the love and grace of God. It is the salvation, this new birth that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is all about birth. And in this passage that we're about to pursue, we see really 3 births. There is the sinner's birth, Nicodemus. There is the Savior's birth, who came from God to give us eternal life, and there is the second birth, because Jesus said, you must be born again. And Jesus came so that we could live, and not die. Eternal death. Born to die, that man may live. It's a line from Charles Wesley's great hymn of Christmas, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're going to sing it in just a moment. Born to die, that man may live. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. And so today's message is a vital message. It concerns the new birth. Jesus came to earth so that we could go to heaven. He was born so that we must and may be born again. Are you born again? You say, I don't even know exactly what that means. Well, we're going to look at what that means today. And right out of God's word in John chapter 3, it is a wonderful time to celebrate Christmas and the coming of Jesus into the world. And we've been celebrating since right after Thanksgiving and all the way through the gift of Christmas and the tree lighting and the witness and the packing of shoe boxes and sending missionaries and supporting missionaries and praying and worshiping together and giving and then the gift of Christmas, where we saw nearly 1,000 decisions for Christ. People responding personally and publicly to the gospel of Christ. That'd be a good place for an amen. Are we awake this morning? Yes. People who say we are now born again, and we're following up one by one on them. And then the Christmas Eve services, I hope you'll pick one and attend one. Bring your family, bring your friends. I know there's a certain local football team that's playing on Christmas Eve, but we're going to have those services, and it'll be great. So you get to pick when you're going to come. And then on Christmas Day, how great is it that Christmas is on December the 25th, as always, and this year is on the Lord's Day. It's on Sunday. So we are going to gather both at our North Campus, Espanol and Prestonwood, here in Plano at 11 o'clock here in Plano. And we are going to gather to worship. We'll ring the bells of Christmas and have a great... I can't imagine not doing that. We've always worshiped the Lord on Christmas Day when it has fallen in that way. I know I just read an article in the New York Times today that some churches around the country are canceling services on Christmas Day. Why? I'm not exactly sure. I know the excuses, but not the reasons. When we had the COVID experience and we had to shut the church down for about 9 weeks, when we began gathering people again and getting people back together, and God began to move and we began to see some of this unfolding, I promised you, as long as I am pastor, if it's just me and Deb, my wife, we will never cancel services again here at Prestonwood. So, of course, we are going to have services on Christmas Day. So come in your hoodie, come in your pajamas if they're decent. I don't know. I want you to get here though and bring your families. We're going to sing the carols of Christmas. And it's all because we love Jesus. This is not a matter of legalism. It's not a matter of duty. It's a joyous delight to be able to gather. I know not everyone can come, but as many as who can and will, we invite you here. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And it's all found in the first 7 verses of John's Gospel, chapter 3. Let's start at verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. His name, Nike, means conqueror. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a powerful and awesome leader among the Jewish people. Someone said he was a big cog in the synagogue. And this man, Nicodemus, a ruler, a religious man, he was a Pharisee, he kept all of the laws of Israel and then some. This man came to Jesus by night. Now, people question as to why he came at night. Some people want to make a big deal that he came at night because he was afraid to come in the daylight, afraid of criticism, afraid of his peers, what they might say, anxious, afraid. So he came by night. I question that. I believe Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, number one, because this was the time after dinner. Have you ever had nice after dinner conversations? After dinner in particular, Jewish men and Middle Eastern men to this very day have coffee or conversations after dinner. So it was a normal time for a casual one-on-one. Nicodemus had seen the miracles of Jesus and the crowds that were gathering and being a ruler of the Jews and, of course, interested in these things. There were rumors that Jesus was the Messiah. And so he wanted to know. He was a sincere seeker, I believe. And he came to Jesus by night, therefore, because he truly wanted to know. And he had questions that couldn't wait until the next day. Have you ever had a question like that? Just something that was stirring in you. There's an urgency in this. I love this story because you see both humanity and deity. Deb and I were talking on the way to church this morning, and I was reviewing some of the sermon with her, and she said, you know, I love John chapter 3. She said, it's one of my favorite stories of Nicodemus and Jesus because you see so much humanity in it and so much deity in it. True. There's both humanity and deity in this great story. He comes to Jesus by night, and he said to him, back to verse 2, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. So far, so good, except he didn't go far enough. He didn't know yet who Jesus really is. Jesus was not a teacher come from God. He was God who came to teach. But he said, no one could do these signs meaning miracles, that you do unless God is with him. So far, so good as well. He knew God was with Jesus. But what he didn't know, that God was and is Jesus. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, and when Jesus says truly, truly, or verily, verily, for sure, pay attention, listen, listen. He said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, meaning the rule of God in heaven and earth. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Good question. Nicodemus must have been an older man. He's lived a long time, but there's still something raging in him, a restlessness, if you will. He didn't know if he knew the truth or all of it. He didn't know who Jesus was exactly, and he wanted to know. And then Jesus just cuts right to the chase. And he says, you, yes, you, Nicodemus, religious man, righteous man, good man, a godly man, a law-keeping man, you must be born again. With that, the urgency and the essential that Nicodemus must have a second birth. He said, how's that possible? I'm an old man. Some of you may be looking back over your life and you're thinking, is it even possible to begin again? How can I, who have lived so long, and maybe for some who've lived so wrong, how's it possible to get a new start? But of course, Jesus was talking about something more than just a new start. He's talking about a new birth, something that is transformational, not just transactional. I just read a story this morning regarding President Dwight Eisenhower. Eisenhower was the first president I remember as a child, and of course, a war hero and a general and West Point graduate. And when he was about to be inaugurated as president of the United States in the early 1950s, 1952, Billy Graham was invited to speak with him, and Billy had an experience of leading then President Eisenhower to faith in Christ. Now it's 8 years later, more than 8 years later, and Eisenhower is dying. And so he calls for Billy Graham. He still had some questions and he had some doubts as he was dying. He looked at Mr. Graham and said, Billy, can an old sinner like me go to heaven? He was so aware of his sin and a life that I guess he regretted in some ways. And Billy went on to assure him of salvation in Christ, not because of anything that the president had done, not saved, going to heaven because you're president or a Pharisee and a ruler. No, because of what Christ has done. And Dwight Eisenhower went to heaven trusting in Christ as his Savior, and so can you if you know that you are born, if you are born again. So Nicodemus, he's wondering, he says, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I like the scene. He said, that's a problem for me. And Jesus answered in verse 5, truly, truly, there it is again. Listen, listen, listen. I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, some theologians and Bible scholars do gymnastics on what does the water mean and what does the Spirit mean? What is water? What is Spirit? I believe it's evident. Water refers to natural birth, physical birth. What happens when the water breaks? The birth happens. Born of water, physical birth, and born of the Spirit, spiritual birth. Unless you are born physically and spiritually, in other words, a second birth, a new birth, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It's been said, if you are born but once, you will die twice. You will die physically and you will die eternally apart from God. But if you are born twice, you have experienced not only natural birth and physical birth, but spiritual birth, this new birth. You will only die once, and that's physical death, because when you die, you won't die. You'll be in heaven forever and ever with Christ. That's the new birth. Jesus explained further in verse 6. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Thus explaining what he meant when he said water and Spirit. Flesh and spirit. And then verse 7, a famed verse in the Bible. Do not marvel, marvel not, that I said to you, you must be born again. Not an option. I was talking to an individual years ago. We were talking about his faith. He said, well, I think I'm a Christian. I'm just not one of those born again kind of Christians. Who dreamed this up, this whole idea of the new birth? Did the Baptists do this to us? No. Jesus said, do not be amazed. Don't marvel, Nicodemus. You're talking about miracles here? You like the miracles? You like the signs? You've seen the signs? You're interested in miracle? Okay, Nicodemus, then become a miracle. Be born again. That's the miracle. And the miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ is for the miracle of your new birth in Christ. And that's what he's teaching Nicodemus and telling all of us today. You must be born again. You must. There was a preacher of yesteryear who preached all the time on this subject. You must be born again. We probably don't preach on it enough. Because you can't say it enough, you can't speak it enough, you must be born again. And someone asked this preacher, why are you always talking, why are you always preaching about you must be born again? Every week it seems we come and you preach, you must be born again. With a twinkle in his eye, he said, because you must be born again. It's true. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. So before we take any more steps in this passage, let me ask you, have you been born again? Watching on a screen wherever you are, regardless of your age or your country or your nationality, right here in this room. You could be like Nicodemus. You have a religion. You're a Baptist, or you're a Presbyterian, or you're Jewish, or you're Hindu, or you're some kind of religion, or you're a good person. But I'm asking you not, are you a Baptist? I'm not asking you if you're a Catholic. I'm not asking you if you're Jewish or Protestant. I'm asking you what Jesus said to Nicodemus, that he says to all of us, you must be born again. Have you been born again? You say, well, how does that happen? Jesus tells us, scan down to verse 16. You have the Bible in one sentence in this verse. It's the entire alphabet of God, if you will. And I want you to look at this verse if you've seen it many, many, many times. I want you to look at this verse, and when it comes to Christmas, when it comes to your life, study this verse. Look at it more and more. Don't give up on John 3:16. And if this is the first time you've seen it, John 3:16, look at it. Some people don't know exactly what it means. They might see an athlete like Tim Tebow with eye black that said John 3:16 and wonder what it was. Remember the guy with the crazy rainbow hair that used to go to football games? He was on television. He was holding up a sign, John 3:16. Everybody wanted to know, what does that mean, John 3:16? One of the announcers were summarizing and said, I don't know what that means. Maybe it means third and 16 in this game. I don't. The fact is, it doesn't mean third and 16. We're all fourth and long, by the way, when it comes to salvation. Way long. But whether this is the first time or you've seen this many times, look at it again. For God so loved the world. I've often contemplated that little word, S-O. So. How much love is in so loved? So loved. You can't measure it. Its height, its depth, its breadth, its length. The scripture said it's just so loved. Wide enough to include the whole world, and it includes you as well. Sometimes we encourage people to put their name in this verse, and that's a good thing. You can say, for God so loved, you put your name there, Jack Graham. God so loved, Deb Graham. God so loved, put your name there and personalize it and make it your own. It's always good when it comes to Scripture that you would personalize God's Word, make it your own. But I was reading of the great pastor of yesteryear and the hymn writer who gave us the words of amazing grace, and that man's name was John Newton, formerly a slave trader. He was a despicable, deplorable man. He knew it. But he was gloriously saved by this amazing grace. God so loved the world, and he was saved by this great grace, this great Savior, and he became a pastor, and he wrote Amazing Grace, and he was reflecting on John 3:16. He said, you know, I suppose I could put my name in this, as we're often encouraged to do, for God so loved John Newton that he gave his only son. But he said, if I read that, and I in fact might think he must be talking about another John Newton. Because I know this John Newton. And how could God love this man? So if it was just John Newton, he might mean another John Newton. But when it says, for God so loved the world, that includes me. And whosoever will means me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So the greatest gift of all is this gift, the gift of God's grace. The word grace means gift. And he gave his only son. A child is born, a son is given. That whoever believes in him should not perish. And that word perish there is a stunning, startling, scary word, perish, because it actually means to keep on perishing, perishing and perishing and perishing and perishing and dying and dying and never actually dying. Jesus is speaking of the torment of life without God, a hopeless ending to life where there's nothing but hell and perishing. So perishing, perishing, but instead of dying and never dying, now there is eternal life. And we read John 3:16 and we celebrate it. Oh, how we thank you, Lord, that John 3:16 is in the Bible. If this was the only verse you had in all the Bible, it would be enough to save the whole world and all who would come to him.
Amen.
But we often stop there and don't look at verse 17. Because Jesus went on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God sent his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to change the world. Not to condemn you, but to change you. And this is how this new birth that Nicodemus was hearing about, that we're hearing about, you're watching online today and you're hearing about this new birth and you're thinking, how can this happen? What must take place? Jesus illustrated it. He illustrated it with the story that he told from the book of Numbers about the snakes that were biting the Hebrew children because of their unbelief and their sin against God. And Moses was given a solution to their sin, to their death. And that was to take a bronze serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up. Even to this day, the medical community, you can see this as a symbol of healing, the snake on a pole. And Jesus tells this story of the snake on the pole in the Old Testament. And he says, just as that snake was lifted up high, and all who believed and all who looked would live. It was as simple as that. Jesus said, it's like that. Look and live. Believe in God's solution. And what is God's solution? A snake on a pole? What is the snake? Who is the snake? Satan is the serpent. He is the snake. But here's what happened. God reversed the curse. The snake was on the pole. Jesus took our place, our sin. We were bitten. We were dying. We were facing judgment and hell. But Jesus took our place on the cross. He was our substitute. He's the one, the brazen serpent, brass in the Bible symbolizes judgment. So Jesus was judged at the cross. Mary's little lamb was born to die. That was his mission all along. He knew it. And that's why he said, just as the serpent was lifted up on the pole in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's speaking then of his cross. He spoke to Nicodemus of the wind. You feel the wind? You feel the tug? It's like a child with a kite. And the kite disappears into the clouds or into the sky. It's a long way off. Someone asked, a skeptic walked up and said to the little boy, how do you know that there's a kite on the end of that string? He says, I can feel the tug. Sometimes people ask you, how do you know that there's a God? How do you know that this thing is real, that Jesus is the Lord? This is the tug of the Spirit in us. We know that we know because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And Jesus says, it's like the wind that I'm here to say to you today, the wind is blowing through your room. The wind of the Spirit of God is blowing through the stream. The wind of the Spirit of God is in this place. And that tug, that which you sense deep within, it's more than an emotion. It's more than a feeling. It is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And this Spirit, God's Spirit, is working in your life. And the wind is blowing right now. Jesus said, that's the work of the Spirit. God loves you. Three monosyllabic words. God loves you. God loves me. So simple and yet so profound. I'm so grateful that I heard those words as a small child. singing a Sunday school song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The great theologian, or the renowned theologian, Karl Barth, was once asked by a scholar, what is the most profound thought that's ever entered the big brain in your head? What is the biggest thought that's ever come to your mind? Dr. Barth, with all your knowledge, what is it? Barth is reported to have said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's simply profound and profoundly simple. So Jesus said, you must be born again, and here's how. God so loved that he gave his only son. The great God of glory came down to earth to love us up close. God has always loved you. There's never been a time that God has not loved you. Before you were born, God loved you. It's a good thing it was before you were born, because he might not have loved you afterwards, someone said. No, even afterward, God loves you, and he's loved you all along. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. But something happened that cut us off from God's love. Now we're lost, without direction, under condemnation, without God, without hope. And you know, when you're lost, if you ever, no doubt you've had the experience of being lost physically, and how disorienting it can be. I mean, I've got lost trying to find Waze, my navigation system in the car, and it takes you off someplace and you're thinking, how did I get here? And when you are lost, especially if you're a child and you are lost, it's very frightening. Our family had just moved from a small town in Arkansas, Conway, Arkansas, to Fort Worth, Texas. To me, it was the biggest city I'd ever seen. I know it's just Cowtown. It's not Dallas, but it looked big to me. And in Fort Worth, I was 10 years of age. There were these skyscrapers and department stores. And one of the main department stores in that era was Leonard Brothers department stores. How many remember Leonard Brothers? All right. So they even had the M&O train. They had a subway that would take you into the store and park. It was a great place. And they had the greatest toy store I had ever seen. So one day I'm in there with Tom and Imogene, my parents. And I decided to go look at something, and I wandered off like I was prone to do. And I looked around and I realized that I didn't know where I was or where my parents were. And it was frightening. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to cry right here in public, but I don't know where I am or where. And then I heard my name called on the loudspeaker. Would Jackie Graham, they called me Jackie back then, would Jackie Graham go to, and I don't remember where they said, but it was something that I could find, and I went there. There was my mother waiting for us, for me. And I said and did what I'm prone to do and what many of you may be prone to do. When you get lost, Mother, why did you lose me? Blame it on Mom. Why did you lose me? I think a lot of people in the world are like that. They're lost and they're saying, you know, God, I never expected it to turn out like this. I never expected to be over here so disoriented and so confused and so lost. But if God seems far away to you, who do you think moved? We are like sheep that have gone astray. We've turned everyone into our own way. But the Lord laid on him, Jesus, all our iniquities, all our sins. And that's the point that Jesus is making, that I'm making to you today, that when we were lost, we are now found. God came all of this way to find you, to rescue you, to redeem you, to recover you, and to reconnect you with God. And that happens when we are born again by receiving God's gift. You say, how do I unwrap this gift? This gift, sent from God, eternal, expensive, extravagant, this gift sent from God was wrapped in rags, swaddling clothes, and laid lying in a manger. So how do you open the gift? Number one, by realizing you are not perfect. Now, I didn't have to come here to tell you that because you know it and I know it. And the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We've all broken God's commandments. We've all sinned against God, but it starts there. You can't change something until you confront it. And so to be changed by the power of God, you must confront your own sin and confess it and say, Lord, I know that I need a Savior. I don't need more education. I don't need more Bible knowledge. I don't even need more church. Lord, I need salvation. And so you recognize, you realize your spiritual condition, that you only have one birth. And with that birth, you're going to die and die and die and die and never die. You need a second birth. And that second birth happens when we remember and realize who Jesus is, that he died, he came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a perfect and sinless life, went to a cross, laid down his life like a snake on a pole. He took our sin on the cross. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. And this means that God is not only with us, Emmanuel, but God is for us. God is for you. Somebody said that God is not mad at you. He's mad about you. He loves you. This is why we sing. Here's a great Christmas song. Here's a really good one. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. That's the white Christmas we're all longing for. Isaiah said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Mary's little lamb went to Calvary, laid down his life. That's why we sing, worthy is the Lamb. That's why we believe it. Jesus paid it all. And look, if Jesus paid it all, then it's done. You don't get charged a second time. That's why he says in this passage, therefore, he didn't come to condemn you, but to save you. Romans 8:1, write that down in the margin of that verse. We covered it in our Romans series. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. You look in the mirror, and a lot of you are seeing a lot of condemnation. Shame and guilt. Failures and faults and foibles, flaws. You just look in the mirror. Not one of us is always pleased with the foolish decisions that we've made in life. And people live with all kinds of regrets and want a do-over. We look in the mirror and we may see condemnation. And when you're standing there and you're feeling that, you hear the devil say, condemned, 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 condemned. But if you are in Christ, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. There's no shame. Our guilt is covered by his grace and his blood. We are now white as the driven snow. We are forgiven. No condemnation. Now, who are you going to believe? The devil? Or are you going to believe Jesus on this? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. No condemnation we can live. Friends, this has to be the most liberating, life-giving thought that we could imagine. The most loving thing that we could experience. That we are loved, that we are accepted in the Beloved. No condemnation. And it all takes place when we have a new birth. Satan comes to lie, kill, steal, and destroy. Someone was telling me just this week that their bank account got wiped out by some sinister, sophisticated fraud. And it happens, I guess, more than we know. But this person thought it was real, thought the whole thing, and the whole bank account now is empty, busted. That's what the devil does. It's a sinister, sophisticated scam. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said in that same verse, John 10:10, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you born again? Are you saved? They're synonyms. Born again, saved. So if you're a Christian, you are saved. If you are a Christian, you have been born again. Has it happened to you? Has this new birth, this new life changed you from the inside out? It's powerful. He changes you. You think differently. You act differently. You live differently. Because now Christ, who was born, is born in you. Yes, there's the sinner's birth. That's all of us, first birth. There's the Savior's birth. He came and lived and died and rose again. He was born. He came. And then there's the second birth. And that's the story of Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me and pray with me? Let's take these moments for those of you who do not know. You really can't. You're like Nicodemus. I mean, you're smart. You know things. You know a lot of things. But you really don't know if you're going to heaven. You don't know that you've been born again. Let's settle that today. Watching on a screen somewhere, watching on PowerPoint television, right here in this room, the Spirit of God, the wind is blowing. The Spirit of God is moving in your heart and in your life. You're not here by chance or accident. God brought you here where you are to hear this message. You must be born again. And of the love of God, which will change you so that you no longer live in this condemnation, but you can live in the freedom of forgiveness. You can be a part of the family of God. When you're born into a family. You know, Jesus was a family man. He was born into a family. He was sent by the Father. And He gave us His church, which is a spiritual family, God's forever family. And you can be born again. One day we're going to be with a family who know Jesus forever and ever and ever. Are you in the family? Have you been born again? Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I do trust you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for me and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, forgive all my sin, live in me, and give me the promise and the hope that when I die or when you come again, I will be with you forever. And with a simple prayer like that, just say, Lord, I turn from my sin and I trust you and you only. Lord, I want to be born again. What will happen to you? You will have a brand new life now to live in the fullness and the forgiveness and the foreverness of what it means to follow Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for these who are praying. Thank you for these who are now added to your kingdom. Help them to know that what they've done here today is for real and forever. We pray that all of us in this room, Lord, may confess you and follow you, trust you as our Savior and follow you as our Lord. We pray now for these that they would openly follow you beginning today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.